Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And today I am pleased to announce I have a special guest once again joining us, Mr. David Scorpio. Hello, welcome, David.
Yes, Richard, good to be on the show. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, great to have you back after last week. And I've appreciated your perspectives for a while on your broadcast, so it's great to collaborate like this. I sent you a handful of articles. I briefly touched on a couple earlier this week, and also just a lot's coming out now about this Nord Stream pipeline explosion. I don't know, this could turn out to be a very big, if they turn this into a major false flag, pointing fingers, justifying an escalation, it goes possibly to a full-blown World War III. I mean, this possibly could be the catalyzing moment in the history books. So I don't know, I'm keeping a close eye. I don't know about you. What are your thoughts so far on this?
Well, Richard, this is a really big deal on multiple levels. You know, they're trying to float this idea that somehow, you know, Russia blew up its own pipeline. That's the most likely explanation, people. Russia sabotaged its own pipeline. Of course, that's an absurd theory on its very face. Obviously, that's not what happened. And whoever did this had to have had, you know, access to a submarine or something along those lines to get the charges in place to blow this thing up. This was not minor damage. And, you know, it's come out that some Swedish seismologist found evidence of explosions that happened at, you know, right before this damage was done. So there's no question this was done by probably the United States or a NATO ally to essentially destroy this pipeline. Because this is not going to be a quick fix. You just do a few welds and it's going to be back up. I mean, this thing's going to be down for the foreseeable future. So that combined with the fact that, you know, 40% of Europe's gas came from Russia, that's a pretty big deal. We're sitting on fall here, we're in fall, and it won't be long till winter hits. And then you combine that with this referendum that's being held in Ukraine, which essentially is going to annex, you know, all the eastern provinces of Ukraine into Russian territory. So any future attacks in those regions are going to be an attack on Russia. So this thing is really getting hot. And I think that a lot of people are underestimating how dangerous this all is.
And we have a quote in one of the articles covering this, pointing out Joe Biden previously threatened to, quote unquote, end the Nord Stream 2 pipeline if Russia invaded Ukraine. He said, if Russia invades, there will no longer be a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it. And a reporter asked, but how will you do that exactly, since the project is in Germany's control? And Biden responded, I promise you, we will be able to do that. And there's a video clip of it. Yeah, this was from ABC News Twitter feed. And it said at Investment Watch blog right now, 14 things we know about the mysterious explosions that severely damaged the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines. Now, some people aren't aware that it was both of those pipelines. And it's so convenient, you know, the timing as far as, well, we have this other connection pipeline connecting Norway, is it, with Ukraine? And, you know, it seems like, you know, this is just one more way to monopolize. And the U.S., even though we have the green agenda, I mean, the U.S. is positioned to be able to be the main supplier in the wake of all this. And, of course, blame Russia to get a war going. There's no reason, like you say. I mean, I've been thinking that we don't even need this extended war of attrition. If Russia wanted their way, they could cut off all fuel, you know, whatsoever to Europe, say, you know, we need these territories. This is, you know, what we insist for the future with these Ukrainian territories, and the people, the will of the people, allowed to vote for what they want. But, I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, I've been suspicious a little that he's been letting it play out like that when he could just shut it all off at the early on. But then, of course, it would probably be spun as, oh, you know, he's heartless. He's trying to destroy Europe and freeze the people and this and that. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't like to be a Putin cheerleader any more than a Trump cheerleader. But at the same time, you can't really justify this from a Western perspective, David.
Well, I think, you know, at least for me, the jury is still out on just how controlled Putin is. There's no question that they're playing this war out, or so-called war out, very slowly for whatever reason. There's no question about that. And to me, that's very suspicious. And I just think that this war in Ukraine is really about ready to spill over into a much larger conflict. And of course, you know, yeah, I was just watching that clip of Joe Biden, you know, kind of chortling, yes, we can do that. You know, so pretty much just admitting that that was the plan, just to go ahead and sabotage, blow up the pipeline. And, you know, it's funny how we're supposed to be so concerned about Ukraine's border. Oh, Ukraine's border is sacrosanct. You know, let's flush the entire Western civilization down the toilet and go to war with Russia over it. But our southern border, hey, if you're caring about that, then you're probably a racist, a xenophobe, a homophobe, and probably a Holocaust denier as well. So it's interesting how some borders are important and others aren't, Richard.
It's truly fascinating and Orwellian how much people don't even question a lot of these things. But, of course, I mean, any corporate media platforms, it's all pre-arranged questions and answers and softball questions where we can't expect this to come up there. But nonetheless, I mean, in most circles, yeah, these things aren't even being asked. A good point that this list of 14 points has, point 11 on its list, a Polish member of the European Parliament seems absolutely convinced that the United States was behind the attack. Former Polish Defense Minister Radek Sikorski attributed the United States to the United States, rather, the sabotage of two pipelines carrying natural gas to Russia, from Russia, rather, to Germany. Thank you, USA, he wrote on Twitter.
Right. Yes, I saw that too. Right. So there's only a handful of countries that could even pull this off. You know, you have to have a submarine and some pretty high-tech stuff to pull this off. It's not like you can just drop a M-80 down there in a plastic bag, you know, and it's going to blow up a pipeline. This is a big deal, and it was quite an operation. So it's also a step closer to open warfare with Russia over a country that really has no strategic importance to the United States whatsoever. This is just a manufactured, crisis. And it's funny how it all fits together in the green agenda as well. Well, suddenly there's not enough natural gas for Europe. We're going to have to build more windmills and put up more solar panels and tighten your belt and put on a sweater, you know, because it's kind of unrealistic to think that America is going to be able to supply all the gas they need on cargo ships. That's really an insane way to try to, you know, supply gas, you know, halfway around the world. So this is just kind of all mixing together into, well, the current system of, you know, fossil fuels just isn't working anymore. It's further indication. Then combine that with the climate change agenda, just amping up, you know, the maximum hysteria over any hurricane, which, you know, it's bad what's bearing down on Florida right now. But, you know, I'm suspicious of this too, just because this storm grew so quickly. I don't think they can create storms, but I do think they can intensify them and then slow them down. I mean, this hurricane is only moving at like 3 to 5 miles an hour, which is really strange. I never remember ever seeing hurricanes move that slowly. There was a storm a few years back in Houston where the storm just stopped completely and just dumped like 20 inches of rain on Houston. So I think we're seeing technology, exotic technology being used to manipulate the weather to create this notion that we have climate change and we have to do something. Looks like we're going to have to control all the natural resources of the entire world from a central point Sorry about that, guys. It's the only solution.
Yes, and, well, we have so many attacks on food supply, various independent farmers being paid to not plant or well, just sell their farms like a bunch of year's pay in some deals. But in every way, the last few years, we've had things building up to this food shortage as well. In every way, the people are to be strangled as much as possible. The mass populace, it seems, and this winter, it was at least the beginning of this. America and Europe, primarily. And I mean, it. Well, when you just look at the economy, though, I mean, 2008 was, even with that bailout, it was still kicking the can down the road. I mean, and many are seeing what has to happen here, a so-called correction in our economic system. It could be worse, relatively speaking, to 1929 even. And I mean, we're already seeing that it's in a lot, there are a lot of indications that it's already begun the last couple of weeks from what's out there, you know, that I've been keeping up with. But you know, time will tell how much it'll truly, well, postpone, just like the hurricane itself's movement, you know, the inevitable. It certainly is, though, I mean, in every way, seeming like they're engineering it to be even worse. And the war, just like it throughout history, I mean, the war is the solution to a no way out economic scenario for these people. It just, everything is just too coincidentally, well, perfectly timed to be a coincidence, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. Well, Richard, you have to understand the whole world is just nothing but a set of unconnected coincidences. There's no pattern going on here. There's no plan, you know, that's a covert plan that's being enacted. You know,
well, I know
it's
that.
Obvious there is, of course.
I know that. I wouldn't want to be a conspiracy theorist.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to be a conspiracy nut, because we all know that that's crazy talk. But you know, here's the thing, Richard. That's really concerning to me is America is sitting on some of the biggest bubbles in the history of the modern world. This real estate bubble is completely insane. You have houses like here, for example, in Southern California. You have an average house worth $800,000, supposedly. I mean, I'm just talking a house in a decent neighborhood, you know, a 3-2 house, nothing, not a palace or a mansion, sitting at around $800,000. That's completely insane. It's not supported by people's salaries or the market. It's completely manipulated. And as the Fed continues to, you know, increase interest rates, which now we're sitting at almost 7% now, You're talking, you know, an extra $800 or so in an average mortgage payment for somebody. So this is going to completely destroy the housing market for the most part. This is earth shattering what they're doing. And you're going to have an economy where you have inflation and no growth, so-called stagflation. This is what it's going to create. And so the other big market bubble is the stock market. It's a balloon. So all the market fundamentals have been, you know, pretty much thrown out the window years ago because it's been manipulated through the plunge protection team and various other, you know, essentially access to close to free magic shekels for speculators. That's what's been going on, and now that's over. So that's going to come crashing down one way or another. It already is. And so the solution for something like this, because the economy is going to hit the wall, we're really at a point where people that work, you know, a $20 an hour job aren't going to be able to pay for the basics in life. They're not going to be able to pay the rent and food and have a little extra left over. So the economy is hitting the wall. And of course, the method they've always used in the past to get past those things is a war. And they're really stepping this up. The incremental escalation of this war has been palpable, and it's been happening every single week. And I just think that's going to be their next step is taking us into war, because war could bring us into food rationing and gas rationing. That's what they did in World War II. There was all kinds of rationing. You had to have your ration card to get gas and tires and other things. So this could really usher in a whole new system with a war. And I think we're sitting on the precipice of that right now.
And I don't know what's worse, having to deal with getting through that time period or avoiding the Hegelian solution, which I can see clearly they're already preparing for a social credit score linked central bank digital currencies.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just so irresponsible how America has responded to this conflict in Ukraine. All we've done is escalate, when really America has no interest in this other than, hey, let's try to find a solution and get the bargaining table. And they've essentially told Zelensky, the puppet, to not negotiate at all. Like they want Crimea back. They want everything back. We're not going to have any compromise here. And even though, you know, if you look in the history of Ukraine, it was, you know, created in 1922 by Vladimir Lenin, and it didn't even get independence till like 1992. So it's not like some long-standing country that's been a stalwart of Europe. And, you know, it's absurd to escalate things to this level over a country like Ukraine. But we're supposed to believe in all this, Richard. And as long as we believe in it, then they can keep working their magic over the population.
Indeed. And that it's like a spell, compliance, really, with what the corporate media feeds people. And most people don't want to think very much, so they'll get a few tidbits here and there, you know, in their in whatever little feeds of corporate media come through on their perhaps social media, and not really have to go out of their way too much, but feel like they know what's going on and that they're sticking for the right people and the fighting for a democracy, right? We're always fighting for democracy here and abroad, all the censorship, everything. But the incentives, even before the digital currencies, for some of these agendas are clearly expanding. I mean, I just noticed one article talking about the World Economic Forum launching a digital currency project to quote-unquote, reward climate action. So they made this big move in the digital currency space with the launch of a crypto sustainability coalition, including 30 different groups and institutions merged to investigate how to leverage Web3 tech like cryptocurrencies and blockchain to help the world become carbon neutral. An important and unique aspect of Web3 is that it uses technology to support and reward direct community engagement and action, said WEF head of digital assets Brinley Lear. I don't know where they find these people with some of these names. But so, you know, yeah, they're already trying to move forward with, you know, carbon compliant and other forms of social credit. It's really what it is virtue signaling, let's be fair, and showing you're a good little slave to the system. And then over in New Zealand right now, the New Zealand PM, and you got to see these photos, she's a real winner. I don't know if she even looks human, but, you know, I don't know, kind of Romulan or something. But anyway, New Zealand PM demands global censorship system, and she's mainly concerned about a climate change denial, you know, as the biggest justification. So, you know, this is as important as COVID, as important as any of these other scams via the green agenda. More on that after the break.
What? There were FBI informants at the January 6th protest? What's next? The government going to say that COVID came from a lab? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The federal government has finally admitted at least 5 FBI informants were involved with the Oath Keepers at the Capitol on January 6th. So if there was a seditious conspiracy or insurrection planned, the FBI knew about it. And if that's the case, why weren't the police prepared? Where was the riot gear? Why wasn't the National Guard called up? Everyone knew the protest was scheduled and expected to bring 250,000 people to D.C. Gee, it almost looks like the people in charge of security wanted the protest to turn violent. Find more news and comment at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. You're at Republic Broadcasting telling you the things that they don't want to know, and that's the problem. Too many people don't want to hear the truth. Either they can't handle it, or then they'd realize they'd have to do something about it, be part of those who do something about it. Here, of course, today, Richard Carey with David Scorpio as my guest here. Wednesdays at the moment. We have a couple of articles I just presented there. David is a WEF digital currency project, rewarding climate action. And then the New Zealand PM demanding global censorship, especially regarding climate change. So what are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, this is another example of trust the science and don't question it, even though there's lots of holes in it. That's why they have to censor it, just like COVID. There are so many holes in the whole, you know, climate change narrative. It's not even funny. So the only option is to censor it. We have to stop the misinformation, probably done by Russian trolls. You know, it's also childlike to believe any of this. And, you know, if you think about it, Richard, the World Economic Forum in some ways is a cover. It's a sort of a cover story for the centralized ownership of many of the largest corporations in the world. And what I mean by that is that, you know, if we had all these competing corporations, you know, if they're really all, you know, independent and competing with one another, you would have a variety of worldviews and sort of way the world should work kind of thinking, a large variety of different spectrum of thinking within corporations. But instead we have a essentially one idea of what is the future, and all these corporations just magically have the same vision. And I think the real reason behind it is that these corporations are actually owned through interlocking ownership and dummy companies and all kinds of other tricks by a very small group of people that all have the same agenda. And I think the World Economic Forum is sort of like this cover. Oh, it's the World Economic Forum. It's not because all the corporations are actually owned by the same handful of people. And I'm not excusing the World Economic Forum, but I think that's just a different way to look at it. And, you know, Richard, I thought we lived in a democracy. Was anyone in the World Economic Forum elected to make policy for us in the world? What's going on here, guys? And what we're really seeing is sort of the unveiling of this new technocratic system. And I think it's important to differentiate. We're not going to be in, you know, classical communism, although this has many communistic elements. You know, even China itself, the communist Chinese aren't really communists anymore. It's like this strange blend of state-owned capitalism and communism and totalitarian overlord government, essentially. So that's what I think we're looking at, is sort of the unveiling of a new system. And they're trying to cover up the fact that the ownership of the world's largest corporations is really in a very few number of hands.
No, that is an excellent point. I do agree with you that they are trying to feign a bit wider consensus by making it seem like these are far more companies with independent ownership, autonomy, opinions, who are just all converging. And no, it's so true what you say about just how few people own most of these, and how that is pretty much among the biggest secrets. If not the biggest secret, they wouldn't want out. The only issue I would have, at least in the United States here, and democracy is thrown around a lot, especially in Europe. But I mean, technically here, what we have, a republic, you know, the form of government is a republic. But we have a democratically elected system of voting in leaders. I mean, wouldn't that be a little more accurate?
Oh, absolutely. I was sort of just mocking people that constantly saying we have a democracy. No, absolutely. We have a republic. But the problem is that has been subverted, you know, a long time ago. Maybe even, you know, let's say as far back as the Civil War is when the subversion of the initial system really began in earnest.
Yes. And this other story to comment on briefly, a fire broke out at the world's largest produce market in Paris. And evidently, it's the oldest market which has existed in France, evidently, going back many centuries. The Rungis market is often described as the largest fresh produce market of its kind in the world, actually. Existence for many centuries, and this huge blaze there. And surely that couldn't just be trying to add more to the food, fuel, inflation, cost of living crises, which is converging this season, could it, David?
Oh, absolutely. Then you look at, you know, all the mysterious fires at various food processing plants, including two small airplanes crashing into two separate facilities. That's just not very believable. Kind of like the Russians blowing up their own pipeline.
Absolutely.
We'll continue with,
definitely. After the break. Stick around, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the Rotating Sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with guest David Scorpio. And David, we were just speaking about some of these other attacks, explosions, shutdowns, any and every type of loss of these food production plants, and so many different alternatives. You know, which just totally seems, again, far too much to be a coincidence with the timing. But why, you wanted to cite some of the other examples, because it's just ridiculous how much we've had lately.
Oh, yeah, there's just a whole string of these, you know, suspicious fires that we're just supposed to believe the, oh, gee, it's just another coincidence. Wow, it's funny how it all kind of fits together to creating a food crisis. And, you know, you think about it, open markets, you know, like the one in France, farmers markets, those are the future, where farmers are selling their goods directly to the public. We don't necessarily need to have these corporate systems in place. And I think we're going to have to start looking at new ways to do things, because the system has been completely captured by these criminals. This kind of, you know, a lot of them are, you know, Jewish criminals. But I think the whole thing is metastasized beyond just one particular group. It's become a multicultural affair, but that's probably the core of it, is the sort of Jewish criminal worldwide network. And we're going to have to start looking for new ways to accomplish, you know, the basic needs of civilization. And, you know, farmers markets and the public dealing directly with producers is a great way to do it, especially when it's all sort of independent and there's no centralized control, because a big part of any solution for our future is decentralization. Centralization is what allows for this massive control. So decentralization has to be a component in what we look for towards the future.
I agree 100%. And I wanted to fit in shifting gears a little bit to this. I wanted to get your thoughts on this opinion piece, you know, because, I mean, we're both about the Generation X era. I mean, I'm a little bit closer to the tail end of it, and you're a bit more on the earlier side of it. We're like 10 years apart. But so I wanted to hear what you thought. It's pretty short here. Over at Investment Watch blog, via author Chris Black, and he has a lot of good work. America's future might not be so bleak. America's future, rather, is not so bleak as you may be inclined to believe, is what he's suggesting. And there he starts. Demography aside, mass non-white immigration is a thing. But consider this. Over the next 10 years, the majority of boomers will be dead. No offense, but I'm just reading here. The children of the older boomers, okay, Generation X, and I mean, my father was a bit older when he had me. He was like 35, so I mean, he's really technically part of the greatest generation, right? The silent generation, born in 41 himself. So I had a perspective of just older ways of thinking. I appreciate that, having a father from that era, for that matter. Okay, so the children of the old boomers, more or less, most of them, Generation X, will take power and assert dominance, Chris says. The progressive boomers focused on the millennials recently, of course, with their conditioning, I'll throw in, because they were easier to control, and they were completely passing over Generation X. Now, the children of Generation X are also not the little communist darlings the progressives want. Now, this is why the left is so hard set on drag queen story hour and the rest of their BS, he says. It used to be more in the shadows, but it wasn't working, forcing them to show their hand. The overstep has caused a massive backlash. COVID lockdowns showed parents what their kids were really being taught. Trump did win the election with sweeping majority. The progressives stole the election, staged a coup, and placed MAGA as enemy number one. Like any good Bolshevik, they are silencing the opposition and imprisoning anyone who dares to even think differently. Generation X conservatives have children and don't want their children to be subjected to communism because they were old enough to understand it when they were young. We are also angry, have money, and know how to use weapons, he says, regarding Generation X. This is still Chris Black. Ask one to put a bullet in the head of an Antifa soldier and they'll do it gladly. If the silent majority awakens, this country might have a chance. If it doesn't, the pages of 1984 will look like a nursery rhyme. Your thoughts, Mr. Scorpio?
Well, I think there's some good points in that article, but the problem is that the system has been captured by a criminal cabal, and they own the entire system now. And we're seeing them kind of flexing their muscles by, you know, moving the levers of power around to get the results they want and make it look like it's all just a big accident. It's no cause for alarm here. It's just happening sort of organically. And unfortunately, the plan is to bring down the West to the level of the third world. And that's why they're flooding not only Europe but America with third world people who have a third world mentality and third world behavior and third world intelligence levels. So you can't overlook the demographics, because the demographics are what determine who and what a nation is. So this open border that we have right now is actually, it's causing inflation, among other things, but we're seeing this demographic shift that's satanic. It's terrible. And also, if you look at the sort of situation we're facing with, you know, the economy, I don't think we're going to be able to shoot our way out of it with guns. I mean, I don't think people have the stomach for that right now. So we're seeing a shift to the East. That's what they want to do. They want to shift the balance of power to the East, to China and to parts of Russia, and totally essentially transform the world power base. And unfortunately, America is slated to be taken down a couple of rungs on the ladder. And we're seeing that happen. But I think we're going to have to look outside the systems that we're supposed to believe in. Like, what is a conservative? I think we need to redefine what a conservative is. Is a conservative someone that's really against abortion and supports Israel no matter what? And, well, we support legal immigration. All these conservatives, they support legal immigration. Well, guys, a million people a year are let in legally. And with this chain migration thing, they're allowed to bring up to 10 family members. So in theory, you're having somewhere between 5 and 10 million people come in legally every year. That is not sustainable for a nation. And so how about a conservative step up and say, let's have a year moratorium on all immigration until we get things worked out in this country a little better, and we get inflation under control and get a handle on the prices of houses and things like that. So, but you're not going to hear any so-called conservative say something like that, which is the most obvious solution is let's have a year moratorium on all immigration to get a handle on inflation, because we know you bring more people in, it's like more people trying to go after the same number of goods. That's inflation by their own definitions. But you're not going to hear that, because the whole definition of what it means to be a conservative is really a bunch of nonsense now. All these conservatives want to go around the world playing these games and bringing democracy to other countries, where really we need to be focusing on America first, go back to the sort of the old populist model of worrying about our country and not meddling in the affairs of the entire world, because America could be a fairly self-sustaining nation if we work towards that goal. But instead, the globalists have, you know, made it so we're all interconnected and interdependent to create this sort of, you know, the need for a global system. That way they can have their global government and their global everything.
I think they should have stuck to the requirements of earlier generations as far as becoming a citizen. I mean, there was a lot required as far as just becoming thoroughly acquainted with the language, you know, becoming relatively fluent in the language, knowledge of the history and law, far more even than the average citizen. I think if that were still in place, of course, recent decades, most of these people would not be citizens, would not be here right now. So, I mean, that would be a big step in that direction. I think your earlier point, though, is spot on, is that they economically, in this Eurasian shift, more and more, there will be less economic power from the U.S. And so no matter what, those remnants of us who are aware, trying to build self-sustaining local societies here, like this author describes there being potential for here, it still won't be able to change the global technocratic totalitarianism they're shifting toward. Because, yeah, it'll be a smaller and smaller player economically, and therefore having as much of a say in world events, far less than America used to. And so that's their goal. So that way they don't have to worry about it. It'll be so insignificant, the Patriot movement's toxic ideas and whatnot. We have Amit in Massachusetts, is it? Is that Massachusetts?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Kerry, and good afternoon, Mr. Scorpio. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question or seeking a possible answer. I asked this yesterday to Mr. Nyquist, but he got interrupted by a commercial, and then the question got deflected. Why is this Ukraine-Russian war is getting so protracted? That's what I don't understand. That is, to the extent I know that both sides are experts in lying. And I even heard that Mr. Putin's mother was Jewish. So, and we also hear that Russia is not using her first line of weaponry or personnel or something like that. So is it because using just second or lower line of weaponry and military resources, they are getting the electronic signatures of the United States, which is sending maybe Stinger or HAMS or whatever latest weaponry. So is it that they are trying to get just by sacrificing low-quality military resources, the first-quality U.S. weapons, electronic signatures, and getting prepared for something more serious at a later date or something on those lines. So that is my thought. So I would like to hear what you might think, because there is no independent source on the ground to tell us clearly what is really going on. All we get is various sources in the West. So just at get-go, their neutrality is suspect. So I would like to hear your thoughts about what might be making it so protracted.
David?
You're referring to the war in Ukraine?
Yes, exactly, yes.
Yeah, well, this is quite a mystery, and it's a very good question. I appreciate you calling in. You know, it's hard to know, as I was saying earlier, how controlled Vladimir Putin is. He's certainly a nationalist to some degree. He's done a lot of things to put Russia in a very good position for the future in terms of being somewhat self-sustaining. And but we don't know how deep the international banking cabal has their hooks into him through, you know, their debt mechanisms and other, you know, basically threats against him and his family. It's really hard to know how deep those connections go. So it just seems to me that for whatever reason, Vladimir Putin is not trying to put an end to this thing quickly. It's being played out very slowly, which fits into so many other agendas. It fits into the green agenda. It fits into this idea that we're going to have food shortages and the system's just not working anymore. So there's a lot of mysteries there. I don't think there's an easy answer to that question. I think we're going to have to see how things play out. Another thing I find disturbing is if you look at how many, you know, cities are just essentially being leveled. You know, every time one of these apartment buildings gets hit by some kind of bomb or a missile, even though it's still standing, it's going to have to be torn down completely and be rebuilt because the structure is so damaged. So
exactly.
We're going to see a massive rebuilding project inside Ukraine. And the question is, who's going to do the rebuilding and who are going to be the people living there? Because so many Ukrainians have fled, they're being killed. So I think we're seeing a sort of a transformation of Ukraine, too, because if you look at the footage, I couldn't help but notice a complete lack of diversity over there in Ukraine. And, you know, of course, that's one thing that Zelensky and crew are fighting for is the right to join the Kalergi project, which makes it sort of strange that you have these so-called Nazis, Ukrainian Nazis, that are fighting to join NATO, the EU, and thus the Kalergi plan.
Amit?
Okay. Yes, I'm here, yes. Thank you. Yes, that's the other thought which comes to mind is that if a war is going on, each side is quite prepared. That is, depending on anything or motivation at a given moment, the war can be turned in a different direction very quickly because personnel are there, logistics are there. So it's just like a higher level exercise going on because often an exercise is fully equipped and fully staffed. It can do anything. So that makes me nervous that it's getting so protracted. And as I said before, that first-line weapons signature is so hard to find because each side tries not to use it. And that's being done here, partly from the United States side. And that makes me nervous that the United States is being exposed for really no reason. That's all.
David?
Yeah, well, there's no easy answers here. And I just think that if you look at the parallels between what's happening in Ukraine right now and the way they kicked off World War One and World War Two, there's so many, especially World War Two, there's so many parallels and, you know, very similar methodology at work here. So I really do think that an expanded conflict is on the table here, and one of the possibilities, I think they have, you know, a bunch of contingency plans depending on what sticks and what doesn't, and right now there's no question that war, a very large war, a real war, is on the table.
Well, thank you for your call, Amit. We have the break and one more caller, but yeah, please, always appreciate your calls, so call again. And we'll be right back. Stick around, folks. In final seconds.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
And we are back, folks, for the final segment of Beyond the Official Narrative on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with David Scorpio. We have Rick in Arizona on the line. Rick, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I believe we're on the verge of nuclear war when Putin smart bombs Zelensky. I'm supposed to believe that nuclear war is on the horizon and all these innocent people are going to get killed, but Zelensky gets to live. You know, Layla, who calls into Rivero show all the time, is pretty sharp. And she said that Putin walks a fine line because he knows how powerful these Jews are. I'm pretty sure that Putin doesn't want to kill Zelensky because he's afraid of getting killed himself. And I think the Jews might be working this war on all three sides, Russia, Ukraine, and in the United States. The $65 billion that has been spent over there tells you that everything that's come out of the TV about this is a lie. Do we have any real correspondence?
Right. Do we? It's a good question. I think there are at least some Jewish factions, factions of Jewish power, that are on each of these sides, as you describe. Certainly, I don't. They don't all agree on everything. All of these different, again, factions. Mr. Scorpio, I don't know. What would you respond to the caller with?
Well, you know, it is interesting that Putin didn't simply take a different tactic and go into Kyiv and arrest all of the high-level cabinet members along with Zelensky. Certainly, they have the intelligence to know all these people's schedule, where they live, what they do for the day, and just arrest all of them and essentially have a new government formed. That would have been another way to deal with this, but that isn't what he chose to do. So whether or not nuclear war is on the table, it's hard to say. It's certainly a possibility, but I think what they want to do is have some kind of prolonged conflict that spills over into other parts of Europe and gets NATO in the fray here. And then we're going to have a whole different world, and they can transform civilization, borders, everything with war. It's the most powerful transformative tool at their disposal.
Yeah, it'll make it much easier to put all those Africans into that part of the world once this war is over with. Because that's really a crystal clear white country. That's a very white area. So one of the things that is happening, white people are being splattered all out of the Ukraine. And so, I don't know. I just don't believe anything I see. And we won't know what the truth is for a couple more years. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you. Final thought on that, Scorpio.
Yeah, I think he's spot on. You can't help but notice the complete lack of diversity in Ukraine. And, you know, let's not forget, too, that in America, but prior to the 1965 Immigration Act, which was, you know, spearheaded by Ted Kennedy and Jacob Javits, 90% of the immigration was from white countries. And that 1965 law completely altered the immigration system and slanted it towards non-white countries. And that's just a simple fact. It hasn't been that long. And look what they've done. They've transformed our demographics with that one act. And it's continuing in earnest with the open borders. And that's part of this plan, to have this a country full of people that really don't like each other and have nothing in common.
But of course, these are all coincidences. And we're just crazy conspiracy theorists. So what do we know, Dave? Well, thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure and an honor. Once again, sir. And listeners, please support the station so that we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.